Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Tuesday, December 30th. The state's plastic bag ban is getting an upgrade in the new year. More on that next, but first, the headlines. The San Diego Foundation has given an additional $3 million to 26 local nonprofits. The money comes from the organization's Unity Fund. It will go to organizations that provide assistance with housing, food, or healthcare costs. The Unity Fund was formed earlier this year, providing just short of $20 million in 2025. The most recent round of funding was announced yesterday. Foundation officials say budget cuts coming from the current administration put more than 100,000 county residents at risk of losing food assistance. San Diego is kicking off New Year's week with warmer weather and gusty winds. A wind advisory is in effect through this afternoon. Gusts could reach 50 miles per hour in the foothills and far inland valleys. But the clear skies will be short-lived. Chandler Price is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service. He says another winter storm is approaching.
The big difference between this week and last week is that there's a lot less moisture associated with this one.
Expect light to moderate rain tomorrow through Saturday. Temperatures will dip to the high 60s. And a reminder, if you live in the city of San Diego, you can recycle your Christmas tree. City officials say that in the last 51 years, the city has been able to recycle more than 100 million pounds of Christmas trees. To recycle your tree, put it in your green bin if it fits, or take it to a drop-off location. For a list, go to sandiego.gov. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Figuring out the right sport for your kid can feel overwhelming. I'm taking that journey with my son, Dorian, exploring different sports and revisiting the fields that I grew up playing. Together, we're searching for the right fit and maybe reconnecting with a few old memories along the way. It's Game Time Decision, a new series from KPBS. Join us at kpbs.org/gametime.
The new year means a stack of new laws going into effect in California, and this one brings sweet validation to all public radio lovers because it's going to make your tote bags even more essential. Mary Franklin Harvin, with our California newsroom partner Cal Matters, explains.
Plastic grocery bags are banned in California as of January 1st. And no, this wasn't already state law. It's true that voters approved a ban about a decade ago, but a loophole allowed stores to offer plastic bags if they were thick enough to reuse. Those heftier bags were considered recyclable at that time, but now CalRecycle says they're not. And Californians have still been generating hordes of plastic waste. In 2021 alone, we threw away more than 230,000 tons of plastic, grocery, and merchandise bags. That's according to CalRecycle. When these bags end up in landfills, they can release toxic chemicals into the air, water, and soil.
That was Cal Matters reporter Mary Franklin Harvin. Hundreds of Camp Pendleton Marines deployed this month to the U.S.-Mexico border near Yuma. Military and Veterans reporter Andrew Dyer says it's at least the third rotation of local troops to the border this year.
The roughly 450 Marines from the 1st Combat Engineer Battalion are part of a regular rotation of forces. A Joint Task Force Southern Border spokesperson tells KPBS they've replaced Marines from Combat Logistics Battalion 15, also based at Camp Pendleton. Marines from the 1st Combat Engineer Battalion were among the first local Marines sent to the border early this year. The Marines say they're supporting the Border Patrol, mostly stringing concertina wire along border fences. A new National Defense Area designation for much of California's border with Mexico treats the area as a military base, allowing military personnel to detain migrants. Since the first such designations in other border states, the Pentagon says there have been more than 3,000 migrant detentions. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
San Diego and North County Transit services will run late and free of charge on New Year's Eve. Reporter Thomas Fudge has more.
The message to not drive when you're drunk is good advice, and the people who run local transit want to encourage people to take a bus or a trolley after they're done having fun on Wednesday night. Stephen Whitburn is the board chair of the Metropolitan Transit System. He says they typically have thousands more people using transit on New Year's Eve, and the MTS and the North County Transit District have a plan for it.
We are going to have additional service that actually continues all the way past midnight, and transit is going to be free around San Diego County on New Year's Eve after 6 p.m.
The last trains on local trolley lines will depart their first stations between 2 and 2:30 a.m. Thomas Fudge, KPBS News.
Annual college football bowl games bring tradition and festivities to cities across the country each year. San Diego is no exception. The 46th annual Holiday Bowl Parade will march through the Bayside streets of downtown ahead of the big game. Anchor Debbie Cruz spoke with Port of San Diego Board Chair Danielle Moore about the annual tradition.
It's known as the largest balloon parade in the United States. Chairman Danielle Moore is here to tell us more about the annual tradition. Welcome.
Thank you, Debbie. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. You have a thoughtful way of bringing stories to life, and the parade is certainly one of those stories that we hope to be able to capture.
Oh, we appreciate it. Bowl game festivities such as parades are an American tradition going back many decades. Danielle, could you share some history behind the start of the Holiday Bowl Parade?
Absolutely. So this is our 46th annual Holiday Bowl Parade, and it has been a long tradition in San Diego. The Port of San Diego Holiday Bowl Parade, as it is known and loved today, began in 1991. The Port began sponsoring the Holiday Bowl Parade in the 1990s through our Tidelands Activation Program.
And how does that stack up against the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, for example?
That's a great question. So the Macy's Day Parade has nothing on us. We have 30 giant balloons at the Holiday Bowl Parade, which is more than any parade in the country, which is why we are known as America's largest balloon parade. San Diego likes to keep its greatness a secret so that others aren't drawn to it. But that is one of the great secrets that we have, is that we are the largest.
Could you describe some of the balloons that have made appearances throughout the years?
Sure. It varies. The last 2 years I've had the opportunity to participate in the parade, and the balloons are everything from sea animals to, you know, giant elephants. The balloons cover all types of animals and feature all different parts of San Diego. And so it's a great tradition. It brings out more than 100,000 spectators each year to the waterfront. And at the Port of San Diego, we really value being able to activate our waterfront and give San Diegans and the entire region an opportunity to come see what makes our city great.
There's a certain level of pageantry and even competition behind many parades these days. How does that play out for the Holiday Bowl Parade?
Yeah, I mean, I think the parade is always such a wonderful atmosphere because bands from all throughout the county come out. It is such an electrifying just spirit in the air at the parade. There are performers and dancers that are from, you know, private dance studios to high schools and school groups. And so it is a great way that really brings together so many facets of the San Diego community that I always appreciate. I'm always running into people that I haven't seen in a while at the parade.
Is this the first time the Holiday Bowl Parade will not be held in December? And why the change?
That is a great question. I know last year it was held around the 27th. This year it's on the 2nd. I know that one of the great things about having it in January is that it tends to be one of the slower times in our hospitality industry here. And so anything that we can do to give people a reason to come to San Diego and to enjoy a sporting event certainly helps the region and helps generate some economic impact to our community.
On that note, how much of an impact does the Holiday Bowl Parade have to the economy each year, and how exactly is that measured?
Sure. So it has a $20 million impact for the local economy. And usually we are able to measure it by the stays in the hotels, the businesses and the revenue that's generated at businesses at the waterfront. It's an event that we really look forward to having people come out and really enjoy San Diego. But yeah, those are some of the ways that we're able to measure it and that we feel that impact.
And again, how many people usually attend every year? Do you expect a bigger turnout this year with one of the bowl game teams being from a neighboring state?
Yes. I mean, I think that Mark Neville and his team at Sports San Diego have done a really great job of promoting this event. I really do think that there will be a lot of people who come out this year. It's pretty exciting that we do have somewhat of a local team or a West Coast team that's competing this year, and that will surely draw people out. But I think, you know, after the new year, people are looking for something to do. It'll be on the second, and so it's really inviting for people to come and enjoy their time, not only at the waterfront, but at Snapdragon Stadium, where the game will be held. And so I think it will draw a lot of people out this year.
I've been speaking with Chair Danielle Moore. Thank you, Danielle, and see you at the parade.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I thank you for that. Have a great day.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a team-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.